The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible here on a Monday night. Scotty off tonight and all week long. Yet Carver High and Mafia right here with you on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM channel 159. Good to be in the mix on a Monday night as we've got Monday Night Football. We've got NBA and NHL going on. We have a ton of moves flying in Major League Baseball. And we have college coaches disappearing into the night, taking $15 million checks from LSU University. Mafia, good evening. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing much better than people who are actually watching this game because they like either of these football teams tonight, and much better than you with what you spoke into existence today. You said this afternoon, LSU going after Chip Kelly. If it happens, I'll never forgive him. Lo and behold, what, 3 hours later, he's gone?
Yep, didn't take very long. It's amazing how fast these things go, Moff. And I'm going to save this probably till later, till we have a little bit more time to expand on it. I'm still pretty hot about it right now. I got a lot to say about Brian Kelly and the way that he's bolting Notre Dame for LSU. But, I mean, you look at both of these things, Moff, over the last couple of days. I mean, whether it's Lincoln Riley, whether it's Brian Kelly, I mean, these things happen fast, man. I mean, it's like you get one little tweet, like, there's talks, and then, like, less than 3 hours later, oh, he's going, it's done. Like, man, those were some pretty fast talks. So there was no talks before the initial report? Yeah, I'm sure there was.
I think it's just the deals being thrown. These coaches are absolutely ridiculous because you have Lincoln Riley deny that he's going, and then 16 hours later, he's gone. Brian Kelly doesn't even talk about him going, and then all of a sudden, he's jumping ship. It's just, I mean, the more we see what they're throwing around, NIL has been pretty good to these teams, huh? Well, we talked about all the money they're going to lose because of these players making money. Well, it certainly hasn't hurt their bottom line the way they're throwing this cash around.
No, it is not. And Lincoln Riley did his opening press conference at USC today, and he actually said he had not even heard from USC until a couple hours after the loss to Oklahoma State. So he made a life-changing decision, Mafia, in the span of 12 to 15 hours. Life-changing decision. We will break that down later on. We do have Monday Night Football.
Money, why not?
Yeah, exactly. We have Monday Night Football going on. I believe the football team, Mafia, has just got into the end zone. I saw McKissick fly over the goal line. This was a 9-9 game at the half, and it was a bizarre way it got to 9-9. We'll tell you about it. But I think this is the first drive of the second half, Mafia. Maybe not. There's about eight and a half minutes to go, so maybe not the first drive. But Washington did just get a touchdown. They will go for the deuce now. going for the deuce here. How about that? 15.
Yeah, that wasn't the first one. You got a three and out by Seattle to open the half.
So they do get the two-point conversion, Mafia. So 17-9, the football team now leads the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, the Seahawks closed. Got to about minus 1.5, road favorite for them tonight. Right now, the football team minus 4.5, total of 43 here. So we have Monday Night Football go. And this game, Mafia, it has been, I want to say, tough to watch at some points. It has. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell on the bench for Monday night. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty as he's on vacation all week long. We've got Monday Night Football happening, NBA, NHL, and a lot of Major League Baseball moves we'll get into. We've got college coaching changes all over the place. The carousel is spinning. And geez, I mean, the coaching stuff is taking over now. We've got to still determine who's going to be in this playoff at the end of this week. So a lot to do tonight on the bench. As I was just saying, Mavi, this game has been a little weird. 17-9, Washington now leads. It got to 9-9, Mavi, because they scored the touchdown right before the half. Seattle blocks the extra point and returns it to the house for the two-point conversion. So it was a 7-3 game. Washington scores. They were going for the extra point to make it 10-7. Instead, the two-pointer flips the other side of the field, 9-9 at the half. You don't see it every day.
No, I mean, I can't even remember last time I saw something gets blocked and returned on an extra point. I mean, that's usually not necessarily a gimme the way the kickers are performing this year, but it's definitely a gimme as far as you getting it off. It's very rare that the whole side of the line just collapsed and let them run right in there, easily block that. And then one lineman to grab it and return, it was sight to be seen for sure.
Yeah, and so far tonight, not a lot going on in terms of offensive prop stuff. I mean, we talked a lot about this on Coast to Coast today. I did see Logan Thomas catch a couple of balls. McKissick's now gotten into the end zone twice. So he's having a night. He's got two touchdowns. Taylor, ice cold, Heineken light. He's got a 162, a touchdown, and a pick. Russell Wilson's 147 and a touchdown. Collins has been awful on the ground. He's got 13 yards. He had a brutal fumble in the first half as well. Antonio Gibson's got 56 on the ground. McLaurin with 40 yards. Tyler Lockett's having a good night, too, with 96. So Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We're just getting going here. Sports Grid Radio, we keep rolling right after this.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever been hospitalized after driving off the road while wishing on a shooting star, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
And we are back for on the bench Monday night here on Sports Grid Radio. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty as he starts vacation. He is off all week. So you got us for the next couple of nights here. 17-9, the football team up on Seattle. We will keep our eyes on that over the next couple of hours. There is a lot of NBA tonight as well, Mafia. So before we dive into some other topics, let's take a look and see what's going on there. The Nuggets beat the Heat tonight, 120-111. A lot of guys did not play in this game. Now, Joker did play, but I saw the Heat. We were talking about this, the line moving on coast to coast. It went down to 3. I think that's because, like, Butler didn't play. A whole bunch of guys on the Heat were out. So 120-111, the Nuggets end up beating the Heat tonight in Miami. The Sixers beat the Magic 101-96, probably a little closer than it needed to be. The Bulls have a 128-117 lead on the Hornets in the fourth. Rockets lead the Thunder 100-86. That's very late in the fourth. T-Wolves lead the Pacers by 3 with 2 minutes left in the fourth. Some close games here down the stretch. Cavaliers blowing out the Mavs tonight, Mafia. Look out. End of the third quarter, 84-65. My Cavs are back, baby. Let's go, Mafia.
I mean, honestly, this Mavericks team has been just impossible to figure out with Luka there. And as good as he is, these other guys just aren't consistent enough for them to really ever compete. Cavaliers team's, you know, solid. They're decent. They're 500, but you're at home and you're getting your butt kicked by them. I just don't get it.
Yeah, makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Spurs are up on the Wizards after 384-78. Still some time there. Halftime in Utah. Jazz lead the Blazers 53-49. And one late night tip, 10:30 p.m. East Coast. Pelicans are in L.A. to take on the Clippers. Pelicans have actually won a couple games recently. I know that that's hard to believe, but they won a game in Utah. They actually split Friday and Saturday. They played two games in Utah, but won one of them, which is hard enough to do. They beat the Wizards last week. So they've actually, and they beat the Clippers at home a couple of weeks ago. So Pelicans have started to pick up their game a little bit here. And the line in that one, the Clips are -7. If you're looking to get involved, as it tips in about 15 minutes. Hockey tonight, Moff. 7-4, the Kraken beat the Sabres. I'm waiting for the Kraken for the other shoe to fall off. They're still 8-13-1, but they've been winning some games lately. Buffalo has completely gone in the tank after their good start. Canucks beat the Canadiens 2-1. Coyotes beat the Jets tonight. I think, Mafia, the Jets were -320 or -330 on the money line, somewhere in that area. That's a big one tonight. I mean, you're a 3-1 favorite, and you lose at home to Arizona. That's an ugly one for Winnipeg tonight.
Yeah, it definitely is. That's one thing if you're on the streets in Zona and they, you know, steal one from you as a big favorite. But to be at home and having that team that's just been an embarrassment of a franchise for a long time, for most of its existence, to come in there and take that from you. It's a tight game. Obviously, 1-0. It's, you know, one mistake cost you. And that's what the one, you know, that would happen to the Jets. For a team that could score a lot better than that, I'm surprised they couldn't put the puck in the net a few times here.
And the only other game tonight, Flames and the Penguins are in Calgary, Alberta tonight, scoreless about midway through the second period. So a decent game tonight in Calgary as the Penguins head on their Western Canadian road trip. I'm sure that means they're going to have some stops in Edmonton and Vancouver along the way here. Where are they next? They must be just hitting. Yep, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Seattle. So a nice long Western Canadian now / Northwest United States road trip. They'll probably put a lot of those teams in when they go on those Western Canadian trips. They'll probably fit Seattle into that now that they're in the league. And college basketball, I'll just give you the two good ones, Mafia. They have the Big Ten ACC Challenge starting tonight, which, let me get this up for you, because none of these teams, of course. Where is Notre Dame? There you go. Notre Dame and Illinois, 54-41, fighting a lion. I lead the Irish right now. That game is in the second half. And earlier, Iowa beat Virginia 75-74. That tells you the kind of starts that Iowa and Virginia have been off to, Mafia. Neither of them are ranked anymore. Iowa 7-0, hasn't been ranked, but they're going to move into it now, being 7-0, and Virginia 5-3. So a good week for the the Big Ten ACC Challenge getting going. A lot of good matchups over the next couple of nights. Indiana-Syracuse tomorrow. Scotty will have his eye on that one. Florida State-Purdue, very good game. Clemson and Rutgers. Duke-Ohio State tomorrow night. Louisville-Michigan State on Wednesday. Wisconsin, Georgia Tech, Michigan, North Carolina. Some good ones the next few nights, Mafia, if you like college basketball.
Yeah, it's good when you get these ones going back, you know, when you get the kind of conferences putting it together, because too many of these teams won't do it themselves. They'll just play, you know, the little sisters of the poor that are around the little conference, little tiny conference schools. So to see the big conferences here get these, you know, matchups against each other now, of course, it's not always going to be top team, where, you know, you're two ranked opponents that you wouldn't see otherwise. But even some of the lesser matchups where you get kind of the middle of the pack for these two conferences, let you see where you stand before you get the conference season. Let you get a little bit better idea as a better, you know, what these teams are made of before you get into the conference season, because so many times you get hyped up on some team because they're, you know, 9-1, 11-10-0 or something, and they're non-conference against these little teams that they paid to beat up on. And then all of a sudden they get in the conference play and get smacked around. It gives you a much better idea earlier in the season than if you didn't have these matchups.
Sort of like number 7 Texas beating up Sam Houston tonight, 67-49. You know, a little Sam.
Yeah, kind of like
Texas. Gonzaga taking, I can never get on Gonzaga because they play one of the hardest non-conference schedules, but they're taking on Tarleton tonight. Tarleton. Who? Tarleton on the schedule for Gonzaga tonight, and Kentucky, who's number 9. They beat up Central Michigan, the Chippewas, out of the MAC. 85-57 there. Monday night, I saw the football team at the ball back 17-9. Live line now, Washington minus 5.5. Total's 41.5 with 26 points on the board. Still late in the third quarter. So Seattle was the road favorite, and this was a point we were bringing up today, Mafia. I want to get your take on it. It still seems like people bet on these guys, and the line gets set by them when we're still talking. You know, you see Pete Carroll, you see Russell Wilson, Steelers as well, Roethlisberger, Tomlin. They still get that respect because they're those names. But in reality, Mafia, they've been bad this year, and here we go again tonight. Their offense non-existent. They just showed DK Metcalf no targets whatsoever tonight. They're down now 8 points. They got work to do on offense, and they're doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, honestly, if you wouldn't see him, you know, every now and then in the huddle like I just did, then I wouldn't even believe the guy's on the team anymore in Metcalf because he has been just a bum for me, and I keep playing him in my fantasy lineup because I'm like, this guy's got to break out at some point. This guy's amazing. Like, you can't not throw the ball to this guy this many times. Somehow, they do every week. And I agree with you. You know, when you look at the paper matchup, you know, Tyler Heinicke on one side versus Russell Wilson, obviously they're going to sway the outside. You know, Seattle has been a good team for a long time underneath him, but I don't know if it's the finger. I don't know if it's the new offense. I don't know if it's just that him and Carroll hate each other's guts now, but they suck. They're just as bad as Washington. I mean, worse record-wise. And it's not going to get any better from what we've seen. You keep waiting for him to break out. You keep waiting for him to be the old Russ, and it keeps not happening.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the thumb because I watched some of his passes here, and it seems like he's still got some zip on the ball. Like when he throws the football, it seems like he's got a tight spiral he's throwing. He finally threw one to Metcalf. Too bad it was about 10 feet over his head and out of bounds, but he did at least try. Pharrell on the bench. We are here on a Monday night. Carver, I, and Mafia in for Scotty. We're watching Monday Night Football. A lot of NBA going on. We're going to start getting into some other topics as well. We are going to be back. We are rolling here on the grid on a Monday night. Pharrell on the bench. We keep rolling after this.
They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that. I condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
We are back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here tonight. As he starts his vacation this week. We have Monday Night Football happening as I see Russell Wilson trotting back onto the field here. Little first and 10. 2 minutes to go now in the third quarter. Down 17-9. They have gone 3-and-out on 4 straight drives. And the WFT now minus 5.5, Seattle plus 5.5, which seems enticing in a one-score game, Mafia, but with how bad their offense has been, it isn't very enticing. I just have no confidence that this team's going to go the length of the field this drive or any other drive, but I'm sure that eventually this thing's going to get crazy. It kind of did at the end of the first half, and I could see it getting that way in the fourth quarter as well.
Which is another way of why you can talk yourself out of not necessarily jumping in, because you don't know what's going to happen. This is so ridiculous. These two teams are so underachieving that, you know, you're going to have this nothing, and all of a sudden, boom, they're going to break out. It's very dangerous to bet this game any which way because it's been so bad that eventually it's got to turn on its head.
No, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, I stayed away from it tonight, Ma. I was like, this game just has nonsense. It has nonsense written all over it.
The only plays I have in this game are the fantasy ones that are, you know, my teams are involved. And even then, you know, I'm cringing. Between last night when I had guys in the Baltimore-Cleveland game that put me to sleep, and tonight when I got guys in this game that I'm relying on to try to make a comeback, it's just been a rough two primetime games here to close out Week 12.
Yeah, and you know what? We're going to go through a couple things that happened in Week 12. And you brought up that Baltimore-Cleveland game last night. I mean, geez, that was... You think this is a tough watch? That was a tough watch as well. You ain't kidding. This is two primetime games in a row where it's just like, there's nothing going on.
Yeah, at least we're getting a punt. If we're not turnover, it's a turnover.
That's true. At least it's a little bit of a better defensive effort. I mean, there's another fourth down, so another three and out for Seattle here, which is going to make, I think, four in a row. Or four or five out of six, whatever the number is. But in that game, Av, you get four picks from Lamar. He had the one crazy touchdown that he threw to Andrews where he basically ran 30 yards backwards and was still able to hit him. But it was a really bad night for Lamar. It was a really bad night for Baker Mayfield. And there seems to be this prevailing thought now that maybe the defenses are catching up with the passing game. The running game is the way to go now, the way the Colts are doing things, the way some of these other teams are starting to run the football. Saw last night guys trying to throw it all over the place. It just wasn't working. That was a very, very ugly game between Baltimore and Cleveland.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I don't know if I'd necessarily say it's maybe not all the defense catching up. I think it's just the pass rush is killing these offensive lines. I don't think these, you know, offensive linemen right now that are in there with all the injuries that have been going on in the NFL are really there and tough enough to really go against these guys in pass rush. Because you have just some freakish athletes on the other side of the ball, you know, rushing the quarterback right now, 270-pound guys that run 4.5, 4.6, you know, 40s. So it's so hard for them to keep up that I think that's what's killing them. You don't have time to throw the ball sometimes to these guys because you got guys, you know, that are just in your backfield 2 seconds after you snap the ball. You can't set anything up anymore.
No, you absolutely cannot. Offensive line play has been very spotty. Very, very spotty. Really all across the league. There's only a couple teams that have some dominant offensive lines now, or at least guys that can keep the pocket open for more than a few minutes. But Baltimore being 8-3 now, they're the best team in the AFC record-wise. But are they the best team in the AFC in reality, Mafia? That's the real question. In reality, are they the best team in the AFC?
No, I don't have that belief right now. I feel like that, you know, the number one seed in the AFC right now is hot potato. Everyone's just passing it off week by week right now. Next week, it'll be the Patriots probably. Well, if they beat your Bills, because the way that they're going, they're just running through things. And then they'll probably lose a game and someone else will come back and win. And, you know, Tennessee will be up there again. It's just been a round, you know, round and round we go, a merry-go-round of who's going to be the top team in the AFC. Nobody really wants to take that mantle, even more so than the NFC. We talked about that earlier in the season, how, you know, who is the best team? Because every time someone is the best team in the NFC that we crown, they all of a sudden, you know, lose or go on a losing streak, and then you can't trust them anymore. I think it's even worse now in the AFC in this part of the season than it was with the NFC season, the AFC early. So it's just that's the way it is. I don't trust Baltimore. Like you said, they won the game just because the Browns were worse, not because they're good. Four turnovers by Lamar, you know, some terrible picks too. Yeah, just really out of sync. I just don't think that I could really trust them. I mean, you look at the receptions by some of those guys. They didn't have a lot of guys getting a ton of receptions. Brown had, you know, a couple of receptions, but no yards. You know, some of these other guys, Bateman had a huge couple weeks ago when he first came in, and now he's, you know, petered off too. I think they're starting to be found out again by some of these defenses. It's just get to Lamar as quick as you can. Don't worry about him running. Don't worry about anything else. Just get the pass rush on him, just like everybody else. Makes him uncomfortable, and you get turnovers in.
They've just had so many lackluster performances this year. Like, it's weird because, like, see, 8-3. That's pretty damn good in the NFL this year, especially with how up and down and crazy things have been. But you look at some of the games that they've won, and there was a good chance they were about to lose a whole bunch of them. It's kind of a very smoke and mirrors 8-3, whether it's the game in Detroit that they won miraculously. Even last week with Lamar out in Chicago, I mean, they almost lost that game as well. There's been a lot of swing games for the Ravens. I'll put last night in there too. That's three games And I know if I dug the schedule out and looked, I'd probably find a fourth or maybe even a fifth.
You don't even need to. I'll give you one. We were watching them against the Colts. The Colts were kicking their ass and they came back.
That's right. The Colts game where the Colts blew it in the fourth quarter. There's another game where the Ravens and even the Chiefs were beating up the Ravens that early in the year on that Sunday night game, obviously, where they had the huge comeback in the second half against Kansas City. So there's been a lot of games this year where the Ravens have been very underwhelming. They're 5-1 right now. To win the AFC, which is third choice after Kansas City and Buffalo. So they actually have just slightly better odds than New England and quite a bit ahead of Tennessee. Tennessee at 8-1. And then after that, I'm not sure where who's going to make the playoffs, Mafia, out of that mess between 6 and 7 spot, I'm going to say. I feel confident that Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Patriots, and Titans are going to be in the playoffs. I'm confident on those five on the AFC side. I don't know who's going to win the AFC. Obviously, I'm hoping that it's going to be the Bills between them and the Pats. But I'm pretty confident at this point that the Chiefs will win the West and the Titans will win the South. And I think the Ravens will win the North. I mean, I guess there's a chance Cincinnati could still get them. But all these other teams, Mafia, I don't have serious stake in them. L.A., you see what happened to them yesterday in Denver. They've got too many games like that. The Chargers are always going to charge her. The Bengals are still young and learning at this. They'll have games like the Jets where they bangle. The Browns, I think they're finished at 6-6. I don't think they're even going to make it. The Raiders, we know their problems. Denver, we know their deal. Can't back them. And then there's the Colts who, the Colts look good some weeks, Mafia, but they find ways to lose these games like yesterday against Tampa. They just find ways.
They do, and they can't get out of their own way. You know, you have the best formula, really, in winning, probably. Just hand it off. Hand it off. Hand it off. Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in the NFL right now with Derrick Henry out. And somehow it seems, they get too cute and they try to forget that. And they're like, oh, well, we got Carson Wentz. No, I don't care what Carson Wentz did in the past or what he can show in a pass or two each half. Give the ball to Jonathan Taylor. And then when they creep up and they get 8 in the box, then you can let Carson Wentz throw it because you have one-on-one coverage on the outside that he has a chance of beating. You know, once you start, it seems like they don't wait for things to go in their favor before they go away from the run. But, they don't let them set up the other team enough before they get away from the thing that should be the main part of their offense. That should be 60 to 70% of your offensive plays. Or give the ball to Jonathan Taylor. Everyone else get out of the way. And somehow they still don't do that enough. So I don't trust them. And for me, if you're talking about the, the Bengals, the Ravens are probably going to win the North. I mean, honestly, I still have faith in the Bengals. I still think they can come back here. Looking at their schedule, now they have a tough one with the Chiefs. You know, they're going to have to play the Ravens again. And obviously, they played them earlier in the season. And that game was one where they won. So they already have the advantage there. They just have to get the, do well in the second one, tie them up, and they can jump over them. You got the Browns who are in free fall. You got the 49ers who you never know what they're going to get, but you can't really trust them. The Broncos, again, up and down. I think they have a good chance, even though it's probably a tougher schedule record-wise than what's left for the Ravens. I still think that they're the better team in that division and that they should win it, but we'll see. And like you said, it's just a mess all around. There are some teams where this one should win, but there's so many others that it's like, well, who's then after that? That you have your division leaders. The Titans should run away with that division, even without Derrick Henry, because of the holding the tiebreaker over the Colts, as long as they don't completely screw up the rest of the season. The Chiefs should win that because the Chargers are struggling. As long as those guys hold on, then the rest of it, the middle is like, I don't know, anybody who wants it? The Dolphins are still in the mix somehow at 5-7.
This is a really tough schedule the Bengals have. They have a very tough schedule, I think, these last 6 games. Very tricky. Chargers, Niners, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, and Browns. That's actually very tricky for Cincinnati, who's 7-4. All right, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here on a Monday night on Sports Grid Radio. We'll come back, take another look at the Monday night game, see what else is going on. We got more NFL to do. Keep rolling on the grid right after this.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info, you can ask your dumb friend Kevin. Duh! Or you can just listen to us. We recommend us. And we won't ask to borrow your car either. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
Ah! All right, we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High Mafia in for Scotty here on Sports Grid Radio. Russell Wilson going deep for Metcalf, but knocked away. Just under 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter in D.C. The football team with a 17-9 lead on the Seahawks right now. Seahawks do have the ball. Russell Wilson just took a deep shot, but it was not to be. We'll see if they continue to air it out. Up to 7.5 now on the live line. 35.5, your live total. That's actually what he should be doing right now, Moff, is just chucking it up to Metcalf because, I mean, high percentage, you're going to get, sure, there could be an incompletion, but you could also get those flags, and that sometimes is the best way to move your offense sometimes. Take those deep shots on the one-on-ones, and sometimes you get a little lucky with the officials helping you out a little.
Yeah, I think you got to do a little more than that. You know, they'll just go for that every time. That's a good chance. What I think you need to do first is set them up. You know, like we're just talking about with Taylor, where you run the ball, and then when they bring guys up and they're creeping up into that box and you get 8-9 guys there, then you all of a sudden throw it. I think with Metcalf, you know, don't go for the home run play every time. It's like in an NBA, in basketball. Like, don't just jack up a half court and shot your first shot. Like, hit a layup first. You know, get the flow going. Hit something short and, you know, sweet. High percentage, then you go. Like, get him on a little screen. Get him on a quick cross route. Like, get the ball in his hands so he remembers how it feels because you stopped throwing it to him for the last 5 weeks. And then as you get that chemistry back with these two after a couple throws, then go deep. You know, when you have them short like that, then they're going to have to creep up, and then you can get them over the top.
Third and long for the Seahawks. They just got their line just got completely swallowed up by Washington. Now, Russell Wilson got away, tried to run. He only gained 2 or 3 yards, and they were right on top of him. So the Seahawks will be punting again with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, down 17-9. They will kick once again to the WFT, and they'll try to get another stop on D. You can't expect all night. I mean, the Seahawks D has actually come to play a little bit tonight, but they can't keep expecting to get these stops. Eventually, I think Heineken Light's going to get him down the field, and even a field goal at this point is probably going to be too much for the Seahawks to overcome. If it got to 11 here in the fourth, the way the Seahawks offense has been operating, that's for sure. Getting back to our NFL here, Moff, I did not realize how tough the Bengals schedule. I think this is a tough schedule. Now, they play 4 of their last 6 at home, which is very helpful. But Chargers-Bengals, man, that's a weird game this week. That's on the slate this week. Cincinnati's a 3-point favorite. That is just like two teams that you could never trust. You know, the Chargers, it's been for years. Doesn't matter who the coach is, who the quarterback is, whatever the situation. Trusting the Chargers is always a dicey proposition. And now you have the Bengals, who seem to be good this year at 7-4. But then when you start to trust them a little, they lose a game like they did against the Jets back on Halloween. Very, very interesting game in this AFC wildcard race between the Chargers and the Bengals on Sunday, Moff.
Yeah, and obviously the schedule favors Baltimore when you look at it because they have the Steelers twice who are just in free fall right now. They have the Browns again in 2 weeks, so that definitely works out in their favor. But they still have the Packers, the Bengals, and the Rams. Rams, another team, who knows what they are. You know, is Stafford just a guy who cannot beat good teams, as his record has always shown, but we kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt in Detroit? Starting to seem that way in L.A., but I think still, I think the Bengals are better than their record. I think that they are just a young team, and they made some slip-ups, you know, against the Bears, against the Jets, against the Browns. You know, I think those are just games that they had to learn from. And I think that we've seen some great performances by them since then. They blew out the Raiders. They blew out the Steelers. Two teams that, you know, Steelers are just bad at this point, so they should have blown them out. But the Raiders are another one that's up and down. You never know. They have some talent, and they just blew their doors off. So, you know, on the road, I think that they are a team that should be a playoff team, should be a division winner. Schedule doesn't work out in their favor, but I think they have the talent to get through it and still pull it out.
This Ravens schedule is also pretty difficult, Mafia. You just mentioned all the games. Now, I know you said they got the Steelers twice, but here's the one thing about the Steelers. Even though we were saying today how, like the Seahawks, they're probably, when we look at these lines every week and we look at the lines day of the game, we're probably still giving a little bit too much respect to a coach quarterback combination that has been so good for so long. I admit that. But the one thing I do know is the Ravens and the Steelers hate each other, no matter what the situation is. And those are always tough, physical football games, no matter what. You just go back to last year, Moff, when the Steelers were undefeated, right? And they had to play that COVID rescheduled game from Thanksgiving, and there was no Lamar Jackson. I mean, even still, the Ravens gave him everything they had that day. I think that those will be one of those games, like I was telling Dane today, where the Steelers, you think that they suck, they're going to show up, and all of a sudden Big Ben's going to turn back the clock, even if it's just one or two more games this year. And I'd bet my money it's one of these Raven games that he does it. I bet it's one of those.
Well, if he does, I think it's going to be the one later in the year if he's still the quarterback in that last game of the season, because, I mean, you're going to have a big problem right now this week with that you're probably going to miss Watt again. He's in COVID protocol. They've had all these injuries to guys already. I think this is going to be one where they're just, lamb for the slaughter. Not that the Ravens showed that they could slaughter anybody the way they played the last game, but I think they still will beat them pretty soundly because there's just too much going on. Without Watt, that defense is just so different, as we saw.
I don't think that they're going to – they might win this North, but I don't think they're going to be the top seed. This is a very difficult – in fact, if they play like they did last night, they'll lose that second game to the Browns. Browns coming off a bye. They're going to have to play the Steelers this week. Win, lose, or draw will be physical. I think they could lose in Cleveland. We've seen how good Green Bay's been this year. Bengals already whacked them once, and that was in Baltimore. The Rams are very hard to figure right now. This is not going to be easy for the Ravens, who – as we said, they've played with fire all year long. I forgot that Viking game too, Mafia, that they probably could have lost at home. That overtime game, 34-31. So they've played a lot of wacky games this year, and they have, it looks like, a very tough schedule coming down the stretch. So even though they're 8-3 at the top of the AFC right now, I don't put a lot of faith in the Baltimore Ravens. I wanted to give you, Mafia, the make the playoff line for the Miami Dolphins. +1180. Now, it's hard for me to champion the Dolphins in anything, as you know. But I will say this. They have fought hard the last few weeks to get themselves back into a position where they are now 5-7, and they play the Giants, the Jets, the Saints the next 3 weeks. You know, let's just go get through the next 2 weeks, the Giants and the Jets. Could be 7-7 when they're going into their last three games. Not impossible for Miami here.
Not impossible. I mean, and their defense is playing awesome. I'm still not, I'm still not sold on Tua at all. I still think that he's okay. Still makes some, dumb plays at times. He makes some incredible plays, makes some dumb plays. You know, like a young quarterback is prone to do. It's not like this guy started every game last year. Not like he's a 5-year vet. He's in his second year, and I think sometimes has been unfairly thrown under the bus, this early. And, they're ready to trade up for Watson after last year. So there's a lot that has been on his shoulders, and it hasn't worked out for him. I still think that Tua has a lot, to go. And I'm not going to bet the house on him actually getting them to the playoffs because, you'd say the Giants and the Jets, they got these next two, and we were, trying to mark them off as wins. But listen, the Giants just beat the Eagles. The Giants they're not a good team, but they're a team that can bite you. They're a team that you overlook. And it's a problem, and it's going to be on the road. Or, I'm sorry, it's going to be at home, both these games. And then after that, the Jets, they played them tough the first time. That's one of those games where they're always going to play you tough. Now, they won, great defensive play yesterday, not great offensive play, as, Wilson again made some just questionable plays, not even questionable, just bonehead plays. You scratch your head, the one where he throws the pick off his own guy's back. You're like, what the hell are you doing? He's not even looking at you. So, just like we talked about with Tua making dumb plays, dumb turnovers, Wilson, is year one of doing that. So it's going to be tough, but they played them tough the first time. Yes, that was with Flacco, but the defense for the Jets is playing really well, in the last game and in that game against Miami as well. So we'll see. They won't be as easy as I think we want to, mark them off to play the Giants and the Jets the next 2 weeks. I think they can split that at best.
Well, I will say this about this week, and what intrigues me about the Giant-Miami game is I feel like that's going to be a game where points are going to be very difficult to come by, especially when you watch the Giants the last couple weeks. Their offense is hideous. And the Dolphins, like you say, their defense is playing back at the level they did a year ago. Their offense, still not great. Now, even though you look yesterday, they scored 30 points against the Panthers. Listen, There's a block punt in there. There's some turnovers that put them in some very good plus territory. There's a lot of things to look at, even though there was a 30 on the board. Miami offense isn't moving the ball up and down the field. So 41.5, Mafia, in a game that might have a 17-14, 13-10 type of feel to it. That's one of my favorite plays, I think, this week is the under in that Giant-Dolphin game.
Wow, ready to get involved with that. I'm with you. You know, I think that that's a tight game right there. I agree. Your score could be pretty accurate, maybe 21-13. And like, we're going to be tight. We're not going to get both teams in the 20s, I don't think. I guarantee it, but I feel really strongly about that. So I would play the under against those two teams, especially, you know, the way the Giants are having trouble scoring at all. You throw that defense against Daniel Jones, we're going to get some picks, probably maybe at least a pick six, if not two.
No question about it. And a big play from Washington here, Mafia. Looks like Gibson down inside the 30 now as the football team looking to put this game on ice as we've got just under 6 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter. Now, first and 10 for the WFT, up 17-9. Gibson with 109 yards, season high tonight for Antonio Gibson. And honestly, Mafia, this is a pretty simple formula here if I'm Washington. Just keep running this football, running the clock. Even if you get a field goal, Seattle has shown you no way that they're going to score two more times tonight. I don't think they can score one more time, let alone scoring two more times if you could just tack a field goal on here. Run the clock down as much as you possibly can, kick a field goal, and I think they're safe with an 11-point lead.
Yeah, I could have guaranteed for you that he was going to have a great game tonight because I'm playing him. And every time I play running back this year, they kill me. So even though I have his quarterback, Heineken is not doing much at all. I mean, it's just so frustrating this year at times. But good performance by him, a great running performance. And that's a smart thing to do. Listen, you got this team that's not necessarily running in all cylinders. They're tough. They got some spunk to them, but they're not written, you know, not an offensive juggernaut by any means. You got some pieces you're working back in with Logan Thomas back in there. Some other guys who have been injured that are playing again. Smart, you know, run the ball. If they can't stop you, why would you change it? They did a great job just pounding the rock, just wearing down Seattle, just keeping them off the field, all the three and outs that they forced tonight. A great performance by Washington, even if it's been a boring and terrible game.
Now, the one thing I will say that I noticed before, and I haven't seen him out there since, so I'm not sure. That might have been why they went for two before. Didn't the kicker get hurt? Didn't Sly get hurt on one of the plays? Maybe that's why they went for two before, Mafia. They might not be able to kick a field goal here. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty on Sports Grid Radio. We'll come back, see what Washington does here at 3rd and 7 if they put some more points on the board. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
And we are back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. As we are watching the end of Monday Night Football, the football team and the Seattle Seahawks. It's 4th and 4, Mafia, with just about 3 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Now, they're bringing the card out on the field. Somebody got hurt on the WFT. But this is an interesting situation because I do believe the kicker, Sly, got hurt. I don't remember seeing him come back out, and I think that that's maybe why they went for two when they scored their touchdown earlier in this half because it was a 9-9 game. I mean, extra point would have put them up 7, and they elected to go for 2, which they got, which put them up 8. I think that was all in correlation with Sly getting hurt, if I recall.
Yeah, he's only attempted the one kick so far, so it definitely seems like there is something up with there, especially when I go back to look at the box score to see who kicked it off, and Wade kicked it off for them after their last touchdown. So for certain reason that something's up with him. We'll see. They're going for it here, yeah, so there must be finished. Some kind of thing going on here where they can use it.
Yeah, Sly's done. He got hurt. He got hurt earlier, and that's why they had to go for two on the last one. Yeah, I mean, this is it. Now you got to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, it's worked out good so far.
You pick it up. Yeah, you know, this is unfortunate, though. That would have iced this football game for Washington. So that's where losing the kicker really, really hurts them here. Let's see if ice-cold Heineken Light can pick it up. And he does! Boom! Inside the 10. All right, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High Mafia in for Scotty. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.